Honest Angel, A Good Omens Multivoice Podfic, written by Twilight City Sky and voiced by
Sky Asimaru
and Chop.
Really? This is all completely ridiculous. If you just let me explain.
Crowley pinched the bridge of his nose. It was late. He'd driven 2 hours to the Brighton police station, and he could already tell the angel was entirely unrepentant about whatever it was he'd done. An officer with a thin grey moustache and a vast midsection was manning the front desk.
Name? Anthony Crowley. Got a call about pre-charged bail.
The man looked more than a little relieved.
Look, we wouldn't have taken him in, but he was driving the thing on the public road. Speed he was going, he's lucky to be in one piece. And then he wouldn't come back to the station. No identification.
He spread his hands as if to say,
what else could we do?
I think I get the picture. I'll drive him home.
Crowley passed his license over and took the form he was handed. You got used to filling out forms in hell.
He ain't been unpleasant, exactly. But the things he says, well, it's like being told off by your mum. Part of the job, being shouted at. But this is, he made young Wilkins cry. Poor lad's at a very impressionable age.
He gets like that sometimes. Sorry, I think you'll all be in for a nice Christmas bonus after he calms down.
I thought he looked like a tough.
The man took the forms back and glanced through them.
London?
Crowley nodded. He could still hear Xerophir, probably in a room down the hall.
I was going the same speed as the cars. Why on earth does it matter what I was driving?
What's he doing all the way down here on a motor scooter, of all things?
I wish I could tell you.
It wasn't like the Bastille. No handcuffs and no bars. Xerophil was sitting on a bench in a glassed-in room with a fax machine at one end, being watched over by a harassed-looking policewoman.
As I said, Mr. Phil, we're just waiting on your transportation. You can't drive back to London on a 20-year-old scooter.
I drove here perfectly fine.
Yes, and it was against the law.
Crowley knew that tone. It was the one he'd used on Warlock when he was trying to get him to put his school uniform on.
Laws ought to exist for a reason. To help people be cooperative and truthful, for example, rather than interfere with motorists who aren't harming anyone. Speaking of the truth, you ought to tell your Aunt Elaine what really happened to her hand-painted Maholika sugar bowl.
The officer, Rebecca Lewiston, according to her name tag, hailed. Crowley knocked on the window.
Here for the prisoner.
Oh.
Xerophil clucked audibly and rolled his eyes. Rebecca inspected his paperwork and handed over a plastic carrier bag of personal belongings. There was a bright green helmet inside, along with a key attached to a novelty keychain in the shape of a pineapple. She was looking at Xerophil the way a diver might eye a passing jellyfish.
If he's charged, he'll need to report to the court in 3 months. We'll send a notice.
Fine.
I'm very glad the people of Sussex can sleep peacefully in their beds, knowing the ever-diligent officers of the law are protecting them from the dangers of motorised bicycles.
Angel, come on.
The scooter was a problem, but they eventually got it lashed onto a reinforced version of the luggage rack Xerophil had made for the Bentley 2 weeks ago.
Would you like to drive? Seeing as you're a motorist now.
Oh, don't you start!
Xerophil, feathers clearly ruffled, settled into the passenger seat.
Honestly, all that fuss over a scooter.
They're not allowed on the road.
Crowley pulled past a row of dark and blue and yellow patrol cars and followed the signs for Peckham.
Why not?
Xerophil stared mutinously out the window, lips pursed. His cheeks were pink, his curls mussed from the helmet and several hours in captivity. Crowley couldn't stop glancing over at him.
Too slow.
Maybe under normal circumstances.
Okay, do you want to tell me what this is really about?
I don't know what you're insinuating. I fancied a stroll in the country. Miss Potts generously offered me a mode of transportation, and I accepted.
What the? You don't need a mode of transportation. What about the Bentley?
Xerophil crossed his arms over his chest.
I can't rely on you for everything.
What?
That was rich. Seeing as he just bailed the angel out of jail. Again. Aziraphale's face tightened for a moment, and he looked genuinely unhappy.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. It's just that I've always followed all the rules, even the ones that didn't matter.
Like scooters not being permitted on the motorway, even if they've been magicked to go 90 miles an hour?
Crowley had read the charges.
Exactly. I spent my life being a good angel. If someone needed to step outside the lines, I got you to do it.
But I'm a demon.
Oh, bollocks to that.
Crowley stared. Xerophil did not say things like bollocks.
You're supernatural, same as me. We have identical powers. I'm sick to death of always doing what I'm told.
Crowley thought about pointing out that up until recently, he'd mostly done what he was told too, but decided not to.
I would never hurt anyone, but there are plenty of human laws that seem perfectly ridiculous. So I started there.
Xerophil flashed him a tiny smile.
I shook my rug in the street and hung my wash across the alley out back.
That's not allowed?
No, nor is Knock Knock Ginger, and it's great fun.
The smile grew bigger and more mischievous.
Arthur Cramwell in the next block spends the wages he should be paying his staff on his Soho House membership. And he tries it on with all the girls in the manner of that repulsive foreman in Les Miserables. Never has a more deserving door been knocked on at 2 a.m.
That's why you decided to drive a scooter to the Downs? You wanted to break laws?
I planned a trespass, too. Mr. Haverford's estate has a lovely view of the ocean.
Crowley burst out laughing. He couldn't help it, but Xerophil blushed and looked twitchy.
I suppose it would seem funny to you.
It's just, Angel, you like being the good one.
He ought to. He'd lauded it over Crowley often enough.
I can do unexpected things.
Xerophil turned to face him. His expression was a strange mix of contemplation and terror. A first-time parachute jumper looking out the open door of the plane.
Well, I know that, but you don't...
And I can go fast.
Aziraphale's eyes dropped to Crowley's lips. Crowley's stomach swooped.
Angel, I can break rules, especially the ones that don't make sense anymore.
Crowley made a noise in his throat.
Yuck.
The car swerved. Aziraphale leaned in and kissed him, mouth warm and wet, tongue tip pressing insistently until Crowley opened to it, half in shock, but drinking him in. A lorry blared its horn at them. Crowley jerked the wheel to the side and pulled off the A23, rolling to a stop nose to guardrail in a shadowy place between two street lamps. Fuck it, good enough. Tearing his mouth away long enough to kill the engine prompted a frustrated noise of protest, so he doffed back in, tilting his head back to let Aziraphale suck his tongue and nip at his lower lip. He buried both hands in the angel's hair, and it felt just like he'd always thought it would. Light and dry and silky soft, curls springing back under his fingers. He couldn't stop touching it, couldn't stop using his hold on it to pull Aziraphale closer. Not that the angel appeared to need any additional urging. He'd backed Crowley up against the window, soft body pressed against the length of him, stomach warm and plush, shoulders curved possessively in a way that sparked arousal all the way down Crowley's spine. One hand rested on Crowley's jaw, tilting his face gently as their noses bumped, and the other was under his shirt, stroking up his ribcage, fingers spread. Crowley held on. What else could he do? Aziraphale kissed him so hard that teeth clicked, his tongue hot. Then he was biting Crowley's neck in a way that shot straight to his cock, making him moan shakily and yank at his hair. He could feel how hard Aziraphale was. The loose trousers did nothing to hide the swell of him. Good God! Excuse his French. And as he ground against Crowley's thighs and cried out, all Crowley could think was,
"He's hard because of me! He's hard because of me!"
in an astounded, stuttering loop.
Your neck, Crowley. Your chest. These hips.
Aziraphale was panting, leaving searing kisses against his collarbones, both hands now on the ridges of Crowley's hips, where they rose out of his trousers, tracing the hollows just above them with his fingertips. Crowley arched and groaned. Being touched there had always driven him crazy. Had to ask, though. He wouldn't be him if he didn't ask questions.
Is this... Are you... Fuck, Angel. I'm not complaining, but just so I know, is this just a bit of fun?
Aziraphale drew back and stared at him, mouth open. Crowley tried to laugh.
Yeah, I'm all for rebellion, May. You want to disobey? Happy to help.
The angel looked bewildered. Passing cars kept lighting up the tips of his now wild hair, like a halo blinking on and off again. After a moment spent searching Crowley's face, something firmed in his expression. He pushed Crowley back into his seat.
Are you blind behind those glasses?
He asked in a low, furious, affectionate voice, and Crowley felt hope unfold at the base of his spine.
Did the fall damage your ability to draw conclusions from obvious evidence?
Angel!
Crowley moaned. Aziraphale, in the middle of an apparent dressing down, had unzipped his jeans.
I've been making eyes at you for 2,000 years.
Aziraphale continued, managing to sound both aroused and irritated.
I suppose it must have been that long. Nobody says making eyes anymore.
Crowley replied on autopilot.
Dear, do shut up. I couldn't do anything about it because of the sodding rules. But I thought you knew. You didn't know?
Aziraphale trailed off, hands beginning to flutter nervously. Crowley's brain caught up with his mouth and knocked the breath out of him.
Wait, 2,000 years?
You never noticed how often I licked my fingers over those oysters in Rome?
Oh, fuck, I noticed.
Aziraphale stroked the tip of Crowley's cock where it was peeking out of his pants, squeezed through the fabric when Crowley bucked up into him, aching, needing more touch.
Didn't you see the way I looked at you in Paris?
Said you were very grateful.
Aziraphale drew him out, holding him around the base, lips shining wet and hands shaking.
I wanted to do this thing.
He leaned down and closed his mouth softly around the head of Crowley's cock, tonguing the slit as Crowley wailed and jerked so hard his head hit the window. Okay, so this was happening. Crowley was still confused and so dizzy with arousal that black spots were floating in his vision, but he tried to get hold of himself. He fixed his gaze on the image of Aziraphale, buttoned up and pressed and perfect, despite having been locked in a police station all evening, taking him deeper, slow, lips stretched around his cock. His mind threw up an old fantasy. The angel, in his frills and on his knees, thanking him back at his old flat in Paris. He'd been ashamed of that one, of how often he turned to it when he tried not to, and discovering he hadn't been alone in the wanting, lifted a weight from his shoulders. Aziraphale's lashes were fent against his cheeks, glowing a little when the light hit him just right. Crowley lowered a trembling hand to his hair. His angel didn't display his gold marks openly the way some of the others did, and the part of his mind that wasn't on fire with lust wondered where they were. Around his lovely grey eyes, perhaps. Maybe on that luscious neck he wanted to bite whenever Aziraphale lowered his chin. He sucked a breath through his teeth and tried to keep still as the angel drew back, lips soft with teeth tucked behind, but sucking desperately, like he was hungry for this, like it scratched an itch that loitering and trespassing and knock-knock ginger couldn't hope to reach. Aziraphale wrapped a hand around the base of Crowley's cock and twisted, grip wet with the spit pooling there.
Sloppy eater, angel,
he thought irreverently, and let out a low, shivery moan. Thrusting now up into the wet heat of Aziraphale's mouth.
What else can I do?
Painfully hard, pleasure sharp and aching between his legs, under his balls, and all the way through the cradle of his pelvis. Aziraphale made a low noise in his throat, like the one he made for Devil's Foot Cake, but more urgent, a growl of enjoyment and possession, and Crowley's head lolled, knees spreading wide, gear shift digging into his thigh. It was a warm night, and when Crowley slapped a hand against the windscreen to try to stave off his orgasm, he left a handprint dripping with condensation.
Fuck! Ah, angel!
Another 10 seconds, and he was curling his fingers in Aziraphale's hair, pulling urgently. He was too close. He couldn't... But Aziraphale flicked a glance up at him, eyes hot, and sank down again, taking him so deep this time his nose brushed the crimson hairs at the base of Crowley's cock, and he gave a huffing half-cough, adjusting to the cockhead pressing into his throat. Then he swallowed. Fuck, fuck! Crowley tightened, arched his back, tendons standing out on his neck for an incandescent moment.
Fuck!
Before he came with a shuddering sob, glasses askew and fingertips white on Aziraphale's arm, and one booted foot kicked over the angel's shoulder. For a moment, the only sound was the heavy, rapid breathing. Aziraphale rested his head on Crowley's thigh, turning slightly to press a kiss into his hip bone. Then the cap was lit up with blue light. There was a descending wail from a siren, cut off, followed by the chirrup of a police car's horn.
"Please roll down your window,"
said an amplified, familiar voice from behind them. Rebecca Lewiston. Aziraphale jerked to a sitting position and looked at Crowley, eyes wide. Then he grinned. Crowley tucked himself awkwardly away, started the car with a gesture, and swung out onto the motorway. Aziraphale snapped his fingers, and the police car, which had pulled out to follow them, rolled to a halt. No one said anything for the next 5 minutes. Finally, Crowley glanced over to where Aziraphale was staring out the window, humming softly to himself and looking enormously pleased, and asked a question that had been bothering him since he'd first gotten the phone call from the Crowhurst Road police station.
"You could have done that any time, you know."
"Done what, my dear?"
"My dear."
Aziraphale's eyes were unbelievably soft. A demon could get lost in them.
"No, no, don't let him distract you. Focus. Gotten the fuzz off your back. You didn't have to let them arrest you."
"No, I suppose I didn't."
Aziraphale inspected his nails.
"But what's the point of breaking the rules if there aren't any consequences?"
"There weren't any consequences. You're heading back to London, and if any of the paperwork on your supposed crime survives the night, then I'm a cherub."
"Consequence doesn't mean adverse outcome. It seems to me the consequence of my law-breaking was actually quite significant. Even prodigious."
Aziraphale raised his eyebrows and glanced pointedly at Crowley's lap.
"You did not just make a dick joke."
"I'm sure I don't know what you mean,"
Aziraphale said, pink-cheeked and beaming. God, he was gorgeous. Realization began to dawn.
"You weren't breaking the rules at all,"
Crowley said, taking one hand off the wheel to point accusingly.
"You were following the rules of our game, where you get yourself into trouble and I get you out of it."
"It seems to me we've been playing at that for a number of years, but never to a satisfactory conclusion before tonight."
"Ha!"
Crowley said, leaning back in his seat.
"Has there been a satisfactory conclusion for everyone?"
"I'll be sure to take my turn when we get back to London. But, Crowley..."
Aziraphale sobered and touched his cheek.
I don't want you thinking anything about this evening was performative. I did want to see how it felt to disobey. I wanted you to know I can take chances too, even if I end up in manacles.
Did you?
Oh, no, it was a disappointingly mundane arrest, particularly compared to last time. But you've been so brave about us, and I've been such a coward.
Aziraphale blinked and looked down at his lap. Of course Aziraphale had been brave. He was the bravest person Crowley knew. But that was a soppy, undemonic thing to say.
Why'd you come all the way out here, anyway? You could have got arrested for driving a scooter on the motorway closer to home.
I have property in West Sussex.
Aziraphale said, almost inaudibly, not meeting his eyes.
Property?
Some land and a house.
A house?
Well, a cottage, really. But it's large, with a separate wing for the library and a rock wall all around the arboretum.
The arboretum?
Are you going to parrot everything I say? I've kept it maintained. I wanted to see if perhaps you... well, if you wanted to move there with me. To
what, Angel?
Something in Crowley's chest was swelling, making it hard to breathe, causing tears to prick at the corners of his eyes. Aziraphale took his hand.
Make an honest angel of me.
The end.